Good day and welcome everyone to Power Bites. I am your host, Lou Signorelli, and Power Bites is your destination podcast for power generation conversations. As always, please know how much we appreciate you, our listeners. We hope you find our topics both helpful and interesting. We would appreciate any feedback you might have and suggestions for new topics. You can send us an email at powerbytes, that's power B-Y-T-E-S, at cat.com. Visit us on Cat Electric Power on Facebook or LinkedIn. If you enjoy your time with us, we do ask that you leave us a 5-star rating wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. It really does help. Today's topic is going to be an overview of excitation systems. Cat has published a white paper on this subject, which can be found on cat.com. Simply search the term excitation selections to get a copy of the white paper for your reading at your convenience. I'm joined today by Brian Snyder, the author of the white paper, and for those returning listeners, you may recall he spoke with us about overcurrent protection not too long ago. Brian has 19 years of experience with Caterpillar and a career of focusing on integrated systems and gensets. Welcome, Brian, and thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me back, Lou.
Brian, I read your paper and I was amazed at how much there is to consider when deciding on the right excitation system. Where should our listeners start when thinking about excitation systems?
Yeah, so the first thing to understand about an excitation system is that without an excitation system, you won't have a generator. The basics of generating electricity is to pass a magnetic field across a wire to generate current in the wire. So a generator has two main components. It has the stator, which is the wire that we're going to generate the current in, and it has the rotor, which is going to provide a magnetic field which passes across the wire. So the excitation system and the voltage regulator work together to create that magnetic field within the rotor to enable the process to work all together.
So from the paper, I understand that there's two kinds of excitation systems, both direct and indirect. Can you take us through them kind of one at a time?
The direct excitation system is one that's also called a brushed system. The reason is it passes a DC current directly from the voltage regulator through metal brushes to slip rings that are on the rotor to generate a magnetic field. The connection being a direct connection through the brushes provides a great response capability because it can provide high DC current. The challenge with this system, though, is that it's also a high maintenance system because those brushes can wear out and become unreliable. So customers need to go in regularly and maintain those brushes, which causes extra maintenance costs, and it also challenges the reliability of the system altogether.
Okay, so that leaves indirect systems. Can you take us through that?
Yes, the indirect systems, which are also called a brushless system because we've eliminated the brush from the system, it uses an exciter, which is basically a small generator that's connected to the rotor itself. The exciter, though, works really in reverse to the main generator in that the DC power from the voltage regulator is passed into the exciter's stator. That generates the magnetic field within the exciter's stator. Then we get the rotor portion of the exciter, which is spinning inside of that magnetic field, generates an AC current. The AC current from the output of that exciter rotor then feeds a rectifier bridge, which converts the AC into a DC current. It's connected directly onto the rotor then and providing the magnetic field directly into the rotor to be able to support the entire system. Because we've eliminated the brushes and it's all contained within this overall system, we've improved the reliability altogether and we've lowered the maintenance capabilities with the indirect system over what would be the direct excitation systems.
Thanks, Brian. I appreciate that. Now, one thing that eluded me as I read your paper was where does the voltage regulator receive power from to generate the magnetic field in this particular indirect system?
So there are three different ways that the voltage regulator can get power. So there's a self-excited system, which is also called a shunt. There's the permanent magnet systems, and then there's the internally excited, which sometimes is called AREP. The self-excited systems are pulling power directly from the output of the generator through a shunt connection that's provided directly into the voltage regulator. So the AC output of the generator goes into the voltage regulator is converted to the DC output that we talked about previously. The challenge with this system is that any disturbance that occurs on the output of the generator related to the load will impact the quality of the power that we're receiving into the voltage regulator. So anything when we have a large motor starting if there are large harmonics within the system, or in the worst case, when there's a fault, all of those disturbances impact the quality of power that we see and are providing to the voltage regulator. In the worst case, with a fault or a short in the system, the field will actually reduce, the voltage drops down, and we're not able to continue to provide enough current to support the field, the magnetic field, and we end up not being able to support or provide any current as an output of the generator. In a permanent magnet system, those are considered separately sourced power systems. So the permanent magnet itself then is connected as a small generator, again, to the rotor, and the permanent magnet sits inside of a stator. As the permanent magnet spins within that stator, it generates an AC current that feeds the voltage regulator. Because this is a separate, isolated system, it's not impacted by those load disturbances. And so we're able to provide continuous power to the voltage regulator to be able to support large transient load steps and improved response in those capabilities. And when we do see a fault in the system, we're able to provide greater fault current and sustain current through those faults to be able to help with coordinating systems and providing systems downstream. And the last system we talk about is the internally excited systems. So an internally excited system is also a separately sourced power system. It uses auxiliary windings, which are isolated from the main portion of the generator, but that are included in the generator windings. So when we have the output connection of those auxiliary windings, they are provided to the voltage regulator. And again, they're isolated from the output of the system, so we can continue to provide current and continue to provide power and provide great motor starting capabilities, great response capabilities, very similar to what you would see from a permanent magnet system.
Fantastic. Can you help our listeners understand how to select between these different technologies?
So our paper goes through this in a lot of detail and gives you some more answers to the questions that you may have. But at a high level, when we're looking at a system where we want to limit the available fault current, or where we want to have a low-cost system that we're just being able to provide just a minimum capabilities, we may be looking for something like the shunt or self-excited system. If we're looking at something where we need large amounts of fault current, maybe we need several levels of coordination capability within a system, we're going to want to have something that also has greater transient response or motor starting capabilities. We're going to want to look at one of those two separately sourced systems. So that would be the permanent magnet or the internally excited. From our experience, the internally excited systems provide great response capabilities. And when they are available, they're not available in every frame size or every product. But when we have those available, they are able to meet similar response of what the permanent magnet might be. So we would recommend working with your local CAT dealer to understand what those capabilities are, when that option is available to you as well.
Well, there you have it, folks. Brian, thank you so much for sharing your insights with us. And thank you, our listeners, for joining us today on Power Bytes. If you would like a copy of this white paper that we've been reviewing, go to cat.com and simply type excitation into the search bar. If you'd like to reach us here at Power Bytes, perhaps share an idea for a new topic for us, please write us at powerbytes, B-Y-T-E-S, at cat.com. Or visit us at Cat Electric Power on Facebook or LinkedIn. Till next time, thanks for listening to Power Bytes and have a great day.